The plan for this course, as I had mentioned in the proposal, is to go through most of the material in the first 6 chapters in the book. I'll go through most of the material in the first chapter. I'll skip some parts. And that will be an introduction to image data acquisition. The second chapter, we will go through issues related to image quality and representation of certain notions of quality and information in images. There'll be a lot of technical material at the beginning, so you'll have to bear with me as we go through detailed representation of several technical issues right at the outset, and you will see applications later. Without establishing the background techniques, it'll be difficult to discuss the application. So the first few lectures, or first several hours of lectures, will be on the representation of information and quality of images. That's in chapter 2. It's a fairly big chapter. And then we look into artifacts in images. Chapter 3 will be on the removal of artifacts. And that is a big chapter too. And some of you who have already worked on image processing and image acquisition will recognize that very often there will be artifacts and noise present in the data that you acquire. So the first step is always to clean up the data that you have acquired. And that is a big issue too. Then we will look into image enhancement in chapter 4. Chapter 5 will be on detection of regions of interest, or what is commonly known as segmentation. We will look into a few techniques and applications of image segmentation. And then, having segmented the images, we can start to analyze the information that we have extracted. And in chapter 6, we will look into the analysis of shape of regions. That'll be just the beginning of analysis. And unfortunately, even with 37, 38 hours of lectures, we can only get that far. If you're interested, and if Professor Malmivu would like to arrange one later on, I could give another course on other techniques for analysis of regions or images that have been segmented, and that is from chapter 7 onwards. So in the book, you will see there are 12 chapters, so we'll be doing less than about half of the book in this course. And even there, we will skip some parts because of the limits of time and the need to go to the end of chapter 6. So this is the textbook that most of you already have, published by CRC Press in the year 2005. Yes?
Do you know, are we going to return these books or can we make some
parts? I'm sorry? I'm sorry, I don't know. So that, you'll have to inquire. Now, everything that I'm projecting here is from the book. And all the equations, I set the entire book myself in LaTeX. So what you're going to see here will be a PDF file using the same material. All the equations that you see and the figures you see are exactly as in the book. So you don't have to write down the equations. I suggest you make some notes so that you are active and will remain awake and pay attention. Otherwise, it may be a little difficult to maintain attention as we go through so many equations and technical material. So even though the material you will see is in the book, I suggest you make some notes along the way. That way you can maintain attention and some memory also of what you see. The equation numbers and figure numbers you see here will all be the same as in the book. So the formatting is a little different. It's not like a PowerPoint. The formatting, because I'm using the book and I consulted with a LaTeX specialist and got the material arranged a little better than last year. Those of you who took the course last year would have seen a PDF file that was much simpler in black and white. It is good to be in black and white, which means it's very clear and straightforward. But now you have a little bit of color, but the material is fairly simple. The layout is nothing fancy. So the section numbers, the equation numbers, and figure numbers are all the same as in the book. This is a full color version of what is on the cover of the book. The artist who produced the cover changed it to look to have a different appearance. But in my opinion, this set of images illustrates what the course is about. This is a part of a mammogram, which is a 1,000 by 1,000 pixel section from a mammogram digitized to 3,000 or 4,000 pixels on each side. There's a tumor here due to breast cancer. It's hard to see that. It's hard to draw the boundary. But a radiologist, when viewing the whole mammogram, would be able to say there is a tumor there and perhaps even draw a boundary like this. But how do we train a computer to recognize the presence of a tumor in a mammogram, to say, here is a tumor, and also to obtain its boundary? There are a few different techniques that we could apply. First, as I mentioned, if there are artifacts and noise, you need to clean that up. You may want to enhance the quality of the image to make the tumor more obvious. And that is if a radiologist has to interpret the image. And then you may want to apply a technique to segment or extract that region. There are a few different terms used here. One is detection. We have to say, is there a tumor or not? So suppose you say there is a tumor, then you have recognized the presence of a tumor in this image. And then the question is, where is the tumor? You could say it is there. But that's not the full answer. So you say there, but what is the extent of it? So one could say it is like that. A radiologist will simply draw a circle or an oval and say, that is the tumor. But if we want to do analysis of shape and texture and the sharpness of the region, then we need a boundary. To extract the boundary or contour, we have to perform accurate segmentation. So not only detection of the presence of the tumor and where it is located, but also the boundary. To do that, here is a technique that we will not be getting into in this course, and that is in chapter 8, I believe. Using this technique, we can get isointensity contours. These are all contours of same intensity or density in the image. And by analyzing those contours, we can get this boundary, which is in blue. So here, that's been drawn in red, superimposed by this contour in blue, which is the contour drawn independently by a radiologist. So there is a reasonable match, automatically detected here in red and manually drawn in blue. But in addition, we also got these six small regions that were detected, and they are false positives or false alarms. So whenever we apply an image processing or pattern classification or computer vision technique for such applications, when we detect something of interest, it is possible that we also detect other regions that are not the tumor, are not the region that you want to detect, but they are mistakes. And such mistakes are called false positives because we are saying, or we may say, this is cancer, but it is not cancer. Now, this is an initial stage. There could be further post-processing to reject these, and we do have techniques to analyze these regions using texture and other information and then reject them. So there could be further analysis done. But once you get the contour, we can perform analysis of shape. So in this example, which is the contour drawn by the radiologist, using a technique that we will see in chapter 6, one of my students developed a technique where the contour is broken into parts by detecting points of inflection, changes of curvature in the contour, and mark points where the curvature changes, And then using these points of inflection, you can break the contour into parts that are red here, that are convex, and parts that are green, that are concave. Most tumors due to cancer have shapes that are rough, and there could be spiculations, finger-like protrusions that appear to radiate out from the tumor, or there could be some retraction of surrounding tissues, which will cause concave segments in the boundary, these green parts. On the other hand, a mass that is due to a benign breast disease will be convex and round and smooth, like a ball. Need not be perfectly spherical, could be oval, but it'll be round and in most cases almost completely convex. There could be a few concave segments, but in the case of a malignant tumor, very likely there'll be a large portion of the contour that is concave. So by analyzing the shape in terms of concavity, it is possible to predict the likelihood of malignancy of that tumor. Now, of course, this analysis is being done in two dimensions, whereas the tumor is in three dimensions. The mammogram from which this is being extracted is a two-dimensional projection image of the breast. In the case of mammography, three-dimensional imaging is not possible because of X-ray dose considerations, resolution requirement, and so on. But there are other techniques and modalities and applications where you could obtain images of tumors in three dimension. And then this analysis could be done in 3D. Okay? So here we have an example of different stages of image processing. First, you acquire the image and segment it and get the contour and analyze the contour or some parameters or some attributes of that region and then make a decision as to whether it is cancer or not, is it a tumor or not, what is that region. And of course, sometimes you may completely miss the detection of the region. You may miss the detection of the tumor. So you may get false positives, these regions that were wrongly marked as tumor, and you may also miss the tumor, in which case it is called a false negative. So that is also positive, and that's also possible. So in the detection of regions of interest, we have to recognize two types of accuracy. One is the sensitivity of detection. How many tumors did you detect and how many did you miss? With reference to some expert's analysis, you need a reference to compare your results against those provided by an expert. And then, what is the specificity? How many false positives did you mark? How many normal regions did you identify as being abnormal? That leads to false positive rate, or the related to that, a measure that is known as specificity. So these are some of the aspects of image processing from the broad perspective of the application or at the outset, standing far behind and far away and looking at this situation. So let's look at some specific details. Let's start with the nature of biomedical images. And we are interested here in exploring the human body and investigating certain parts of the human body to analyze and understand how the system performs, its normal duties and tasks, how the system is functioning, and if there are any problems or abnormalities. Now, coming from the engineering perspective, we would like to recognize systems. And in the human body, there are several systems: the visual system, the cardiovascular system, the musculoskeletal system, the central nervous system, and so on. These are just some examples. Now, each system is made up of several subsystems, and each one of them may carry on several physiological processes. A physiological process is something that goes on in the normal course of life. I'm breathing, my heart is beating, I'm talking, and so on. I'm moving. So all of my systems are active and sustain these functions. The visual system, for example, performs the task of focusing visual or pictorial information. That is simply the lens, physical projection of the scene from the outside world onto the back of the retina. Transduction of the image information into neural signals. In the retina, we have rods and cones that respond to the light information, the photon energy going in, and that information is transduced, converted into neural signals, electrical signals, encoded in some manner. There is encoding and transmission of the neural signals to the visual cortex. So this information is encoded, compressed, transmitted to the brain, and the part of the brain that does analysis of this information is called the visual cortex, and there the information is interpreted. And from there, you get the result of interpretation of the image information. So this is what the visual system does. The cardiac system performs rhythmic pumping of the blood through the arterial network of the body to supply blood and nutrients and oxygen to the rest of the body, and also pumps blood through the pulmonary system for oxygenation of the blood itself, through the lungs for purification of the blood. They are just two examples. Now, when you are investigating a system, a physiological system, you have to recognize and understand its normal functions, physiological processes that go on. You also have to understand the anatomy of the system. The anatomical features of an organ or a system demonstrate certain characteristics in images and data that you acquire that reflect the functional aspects of its processes. So it's not just an image, but the information in the image, the anatomical features will represent the functional aspects and also the well-being or integrity of the system. There is a phrase that is commonly used in biomedical image analysis, and that is functional integrity. Is the system functioning properly? And is it in a good state of health and function? And that is known as functional integrity. And that is the well-being. In general, being healthy and the well-being of the system is what you want to investigate. Now, each system, as I mentioned, carries on certain physiological processes. And they are complex phenomena. They carry on different activities. And although we would like to view these systems as engineering systems, the attributes may not be very obvious. There could be neural or hormonal stimulation and control. The heart rate is controlled by the release of certain neurotransmitters. So there is stimulation and control in that manner. Inputs and outputs that could be in the form of physical, material, or information. As the heart is pumping, there is blood going in and blood going out. In the lungs, there'll be blood going in with a low level of oxygen, blood coming out with a high level of oxygen. Or there could be some information. The light signal that falls on my eyes will be converted in the retina and then interpreted in the cortex. And the output of the brain there is information telling me I have a classroom here with so many students and so on. That is information. But if you just look at the retina, the input is the photon energy of light coming in and the output is a signal. If you put an electrode, I hope nobody goes there to do anything to my retina, but in certain lab animals, it is possible to put electrodes and record signals from the back of the retina. And there, you can get an electrical output. So the input is light, the output is an electrical signal. And there could be action that is mechanical, electrical, or biochemical. The heart is pumping, so there is mechanical pumping action. And just as I'm doing this action, my brain is sending certain signals to contract the muscles, and say, to tell my finger to do this mechanical action. So there is the control signal, there is the stimulation of these muscles, and the output is this activity. So these are all systems. There is a certain input, and there is a certain system that does some activity, and there is an output. But sometimes it may not be obvious as to what is the input and what is the output. Most physiological processes are accompanied by signals, and we are interested in signals. And signals could be one-dimensional, two-dimensional, three-dimensional, or even four-dimensional, including three spatial dimensions and one time. Such signals could include biochemical, could be hormones, neurotransmitters, electrical, such as potential and current, physical in the form of pressure, temperature, and so on. The normal process that you expect a system to carry on in the normal course of activity could be termed a physiological process. But if there is a defect in the system, if a valve in the heart is not functioning properly, if some fibers in the muscle are degenerated or diseased or not functioning, then there is a problem. So diseases and defects could cause alterations in the normal physiological processes, and then you have what is called a pathological process. Something is wrong, and that process is not normal, and that process, pathological process, could be associated with signals and also anatomical features that are not normal. If there is a problem in the valve of a heart, then it won't open and close properly. So if you take an ultrasound image, you will see that it is not opening and closing completely. Or if you put a stethoscope and listen, then the sound is different. And if this goes on for a long time, many years, and if there is a problem in the heart in the conduction system, or if there is a blockage of an artery in the heart, then there could be a part of the musculature of the heart that is dead, what is called infarction. And if you take an image, even an X-ray image may indicate that, that there is a change in the anatomy. There could be an enlargement of some part in, to compensate something else that is wrong. But typically that happens over the course of many years. If there is simply a blockage of an artery in the heart, the anatomy may not change in the gross size and shape of the heart. But if you can image the arterial structure of the heart by putting some contrast agents and get an angiogram, then you could see that within the blood vessel there is a constriction. So depending upon what you want to investigate and extract information about, you have to use the appropriate modality of imaging or investigation. So a pathological process is associated with signals and anatomical features, but then you have to investigate using appropriate techniques. So with a good understanding of the system of interest, its anatomy, its physiology, and potential pathological processes that could affect this particular system of your interest, then you can observe the corresponding signals and features and assess the state of the system, the state of well-being or functional integrity of that system. So you need to appreciate all of these, the normal functioning and potential abnormalities, how each part of the system could be affected by diseases, and how could you possibly get an image or signal out of that.